Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Scripture today is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, I'll start reading with verse 7. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, and the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel, when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord of Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Bethcar. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our minds and our hearts to this message today, and for that we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an old story about how God does intervene in wars. And not only does he intervene in wars, he intervenes in peace. The Israelites were up against a group that they couldn't defeat on their own. Philistines were bigger than them. The Philistines outnumbered them. And the war had went on and on and on and on. But the Israelites did something that many times we forget to do. They looked to the man of God rather than to their general. And they said, pray. If God is ever going to do anything for us in America, we as individuals need to pray. It isn't up to our generals or our presidents or our senators or our representatives. Everything gets changed by prayer. One of the biggest things that happened during this battle that he's talking about in 1 Samuel was thunder came about, and it disoriented those as they were trying to come in. I don't know if you've ever been in a bad thunderstorm or not. Sometimes there's hail. Sometimes there's lightning. Sometimes the lightning kills people. I don't know what all went on here, but I know that it was enough to disorient the entire army. Disorient them so much that the Israelites got the advantage. But the Israelites went on to win that battle. There isn't a battle we get into that we don't want to win. There isn't a battle that we get into that we don't want to have the advantage. And God says that he will do that. But sometimes we forget when he has done it. We forget to look back in our lives. And I think that's one reason why the older we get, the more dedicated we become to Christ. Because we look back through our life and we say, you know, no one could have done this but God. No one could have gotten me through this because every area and every direction I wanted to go, God seemed to block the way. And then there was a way. I think about the children of Israel when they left Egypt and they came upon the Red Sea. And the Red Sea parted. No one had ever seen that before. No one in their lifetime had ever seen that before. And we haven't seen it again. We saw the Jordan River part for them some 40 years later. But we haven't seen it again. But they remember it. They marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times. They blew their trumpets and they beat on some pans, and the walls of Jericho fell down. We haven't seen that again. Matter of fact, I stood on the walls of Jericho that had been excavated. And you know how they built the walls so they wouldn't fall? They built them leaning into each other. One thing you can tell about when they dug them up, and I love looking at ruins when they've been dug out of the earth, because they're laying exactly the way they fell, and they fell out. Now that's amazing. I love going to the art museum and looking at the art, because it's a picture you can see back into 400, 500, and 600 years ago. I look at the shoes, the kind they had on. I look at the brush they had for their hair. I look at the jewelry they have on. I love looking at back in art and seeing how things are. We have a way of looking back to what God has done, and we have a way of remembering, but we don't do it often enough. The verse 12 makes this statement: then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now Ebenezer was, the name had meant God helped us for generation after generation after generation. But somebody by the name of Charles Dickens wrote a Christmas carol that kind of changed what we think when we hear the word Ebenezer, because he was attached to Ebenezer Scrooge. But in reality, somehow I think that Charles Dickens knew this, because everything looked black in that town and everything looked dark in that town, and this one man seemed to be the cause of it, but he was also the cure. So I think in the end he knew why he chose this name, the Ebenezer. There's a songwriter by the name of Robert Robertson that wrote a song about this long before Charles Dickens. And the song goes like this: come thou fount of every blessing, turn my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by the help I come, and I hope by the good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Hither means I've come so far. Terry and I went on vacation a few years ago, and we went to New Hampshire. And in New Hampshire, there's a mountain called Washington Mountain. Has anyone ever been there, Washington Mountain? They say it's the first place the sun shines on the United States. It's over 6,000 feet high. And I remember driving up that mountain. This mountain is 6,289 feet high. And I decided, instead of taking the log train up, I would drive. I don't know if you've ever drove up a mountain that steep, but you can't see the road in front of you. And the road turns around a mountain, and you had to look out your window. And I was looking the way it was going. I was looking towards the mountain, and Terry was looking down the other side. We got up past the freeze line where there was no vegetation at all. We got to the top of the mountain, and we looked down. And when we looked down, we saw the earth in a completely different way than we saw it climbing up that mountain. It was a point, the vantage point, that you could see all around the valley, and you could see across the state. And God says you need a point where you can rise above everything in the world, where you can realize what God has done, and you can realize and you can see beyond where you are. And there's where we raise our Ebenezer. We all have some. Matter of fact, they built them throughout the entire Bible. Moses built them right in the center of the Red Sea. Elijah built them. Moses built them. They laid up places where they would go and they would see that God had done something great. Jacob laid one up where he saw the ladder and the angels ascending and descending. He laid his head on a stone, then he took a stone and laid it on. I never want to forget this place. We have Ebenezer. Sometimes they're just a tombstone in a cemetery. And it might have just a few words on it. We have one as Christians. It's called a cross. It's more than just a piece of jewelry that you hang around your neck. It's more than just decoration that we have in front of the church. It means that God sent His Son. God came to this earth. God died and He rose from the dead. And we worship Him and we believe in Him. And we raise our Ebenezer, which is the cross. And our flag is the Ebenezer of our country. I remember when I was in the Navy and I was stationed just 60 miles south of Washington, D.C., Pax River Naval Air Station. The war was blazing in Vietnam. I'd go down and give blood every 6 months so they could send it for my friends who were in Vietnam. I remember one day, May the 10th, two of my friends had been killed. And I remember going out, and because we were so close to Washington, D.C., I would go out of the gate, and every day I went out of the gate, there were people protesting the war, wrapping themselves in flags, and I don't know what else they were doing with it. And I remember going out angry every day because these people didn't seem to be standing with America. They seemed to be standing against America. They weren't saluting the flag, or they were seemed to be standing with the enemy. And of course, we know some personalities, movie stars, that actually went to North Vietnam. And that hurt everyone that served. Why? Because they did not honor our Ebenezer. Then I remember our squadron commander calling us all in. And he said, "Fellas, I don't want you to be angry when you leave the base. I don't want you to roll down your window and holler at them." He said, "One of the reasons they can do that is because of what you're doing here, you're serving. One of the reasons they can do that is because of what our men are going through and women in Vietnam and what your fathers went through in World War II. You see, we're a free country. And if we do not allow the opposition to speak, there may be a time when you're the opposition and you won't be able to speak." That made a lot of sense to me. It didn't cure me being upset when I left. But it did make a lot of sense. Because there is a time when we need to speak up, and we may be the only one speaking. And we don't know when that time is. But to me, and not to everyone, but to me, that flag speaks of all the good that America is about. It speaks of the hope that we have because we have freedom of speech. It speaks of the commitment we have because we have freedom of religion. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, it speaks of Christian religion." Let me tell you something about some of those Christian religions that started this country. You could be labeled a witch and put in a barrel in a well of water and almost drown. That made waterboarding look pretty simple. There was slavery. America has not always done it right, but that flag stands for the right of America. That flag is an Ebenezer that says we have hope in the midst of darkness. We have strength when we are so weak we cannot move. And we do have freedom to pray. You say, "Yeah, but preacher, all these other religions." Let me tell you about the other religions. They don't have a God. So as long as we can pray, we can overcome. Because we know who God is. There aren't several roads to heaven. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God sent His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said it over and over and over and over again. There aren't 12 roads that lead to the same place. But that flag gives me a voice. And I don't care how many other voices are crying out there. As long as I can cry out and lift up Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And he said, you know, back in Jesus' time, there were a lot of different religions. Man, they bowed down to golden calves. Even Moses, some of his people bowed down to the golden calf. Matter of fact, all of them. That's when Moses threw down the Ten Commandments. He was upset. God had to show himself, and when God showed himself, they left the golden calf, and they followed Moses again. See, our position isn't to put down all other positions. It's to lift up one position. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God made us free. I'm not afraid of freedom. When we get afraid of freedom and we want to lock up everybody that doesn't agree with us, we're going to have a problem. So that is freedom of speech, and that is freedom for those people to protest outside the gate. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. And you have the right to speak up against it. But you have no right to shut it down. And that's our Ebenezer. And that's the Christian Ebenezer that flies higher than this one does. I tell you today, as I've said before, Christ created us free to choose. Adam and Eve chose to go against God. And every one of you sitting here chose to go against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good and sinneth not. So don't get all upset at Adam and Eve when you do the same thing. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of your own, but is a gift of God. So put your self-righteousness back in your pocket. We all received a gift. When I look upon old glory, I feel her heart and I remember her story. I see more than the red, white, and blue. I see faces come shining through. The men and women who gave it all so we can have freedom in the assembly hall. Freedom to worship as we please. Freedom to work and live at ease. Their faces are always showing there, asking me if I really care. I remove my hat, I lay my hand on my heart. But that is not all, it's only the start. I owe it to them for the life they gave, to vote, to worship, and respect their grave. All gave some, and some gave all. The least I can do is respect their fall. I will stand still as she passes by, with a heavy heart and a tear in my eye. I'm thankful for all they have given me, the home of the brave and the land of the free. The next time you see old glory pass by, give her your heart, not just your eye. God bless America.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.